All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Little people are so cute.
Yeah, I want to try that one more time. I want to try that one more time because it's supposed to have music and it didn't. Hey, it's JD here, and welcome to the Sunday Night Jam. I'm here, as I am every week, with Sarah J. How's it going today, Sarah J?
It's going today.
All right. We got some snow going on.
We got some snow going on, too. We had a little, what did I call it, a surprise Sunday side adventure. I had to take my 10-year-old to a media care. He was covered in giant hives. He's good. Oh, we don't know what it is, but he's good and everything's fine. But yeah, it was a little side quest to the day in a snowstorm. So we had fun with that.
Oh, sounds brutal.
But you just drive, you know? I mean, I'm from Buffalo. You just get in the car and fucking drive.
Now, are your kids fans of the Hip at all?
My son is, for sure. And it's been so cute to watch him grow into it, because I've been listening to it, especially so much now, just working on the countless projects that we've been working on. And it's me and my kids here. So whether they like it or not, sometimes they have to hear my random facts and things that I find, and they're just like, okay, mom. But come to find out, he actually pays attention and he enjoys it. And the other day he asked me about the countdown, because we talk about you and when, like, you and I have to meet and what we've been working on and everything, and when we do the lives. And so he asked me the other day to print out that list of 41 of 169. And so he could see where, you know, some of these songs are that he's recognizing. And, you know, it was funny. We talked about, like, my number one song was, what, 152 or whatever it was. I can't even remember. It was, like, a ridiculous number. So we, like, talked about it and it was funny. And we figured out that his favorite album is Road Apples, is his favorite album.
Good choice.
Just based on the songs that he loves the most. But he's got a wide variety from the catalog that he likes, but Road Apples is his favorite. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
He's really
You're
been
doing
into
a great
it.
Job, Mom.
Well, and the Dance Like Gourd page, if Yannick watches this, he already knows. I already gushed to him so much how much we love his page. Like, Brendan just loves his page so much and just loves the videos, and we watch the YouTube concerts, and I love it so much for him too. It's so cute to watch him fall in love.
And he is a member, and he will be joining us around the table at some point, but now he can't. And joining us today, though, we're going to have a couple people, I believe. We've got one right now in the lobby, and we'll let him in. And that is our good friend, Craig Rogers. Craig, how are you doing, my friend? You're on mute, by the way.
That's so you can hear me doing my little warm-up things that somehow made their way onto the previous podcast.
I should have put them as an Easter egg once.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, things are well.
Excellent.
Yeah. We had a really nice couple weeks of sunny weather out here, which is rare in the Lower Mainland, but
don't rub it in.
Cold and cold and sunny, like, you know, so it was freezing or below, but the rain has come back today, and yeah, it's back to normal now, I guess,
with a vengeance.
Winter's in full effect.
I've heard, yeah, a big storm out there. Yeah, we had one night of snow and one snow day, and then, you know, it's stuck around because of the cold weather, but it was only, you know, this much. Yeah.
Oh, we had like 8 inches on the ground, and then it doubled last night. So this is the most snow we've had since my kids were little, you know, so pretty far out. Pretty far out.
We just had the ice. We had the ice and then the snow. That's what makes it sketchy to drive, is because you've got the sheet of ice layered over everything, and then you have the snow that's fallen over it now, and so you have no idea where the ice is, and it's just asking for disaster. That's what I hate, is the ice.
So have you two been listening to a lot of Phantom Power lately then? With the ice storm? So that's the first thing I thought of, was we were playing something on the other night, and I was thinking of you guys back east.
Oh,
I love
man.
That. Yeah, we'll have to like weave that into what I'm listening to with Brendan. He'll like that little weird thing. He's loving those little things that I share with him.
Yeah, that was my first. Was that 99? That record came out, right? 98, the record came out.
Yeah, around there, 97.
Yeah. I want to say the storm was 97,
right?
And that was one of the first years I stayed in Toronto, you know, from university, if I'm recalling correctly. No, I'm not recalling correctly. It doesn't matter. We should just
time
get
is
into
a weird thing to try to recall anything.
Dude,
it feels
it is
like
so
it's,
weird, and it,
it's
you know,
so it's weird.
Got, COVID messed things up even more. You know, like. Yeah,
somebody on my Facebook made a post about 5 years ago, and it being, you know, February of 2020. And I'm just like, this hurts.
That's
my
5
head.
Years now.
Like, wow. how it's
yeah.
Wild.
Tragically Hip released 4 records in 5 years, not quite 4 in 5 years, but pretty close.
That's crazy.
Okay, just one sec. I don't know why the link in the email didn't work, guys. That's so strange. But what we're going to do is we're going to wait for Jeff now, and then we'll get right into our list. So if you guys want to just mingle for a moment.
I have this list. Is this the list that you that you posted on Instagram?
That's right.
Yeah.
I have my notes pulled up.
Yeah, I had to quickly go back through my memory and think of all the episodes, what the songs were you guys talked about. So I've got them here, and I've ranked
them. I've got
them
here too for us.
So. I like that you posted them, because I couldn't remember either. And then it's like, it's also kind of crazy that this many has happened in a way.
I thought so too. Again, going back to the temporal distortion. You know, like, how the hell?
Well, then it's just crazy to think, you know, how fast this countdown's going to go. And before you know it, it'll be time for the event.
Oh, my gosh. That's, yeah.
Craig, you guys have a show coming up, too, yeah?
We have a few coming up, yeah. We're playing a week from yesterday, so February 22nd. Yeah, it should be good. We've got an epic set planned, so...
Nice. Yeah, I saw like a bunch of posts and stuff. I was like, oh, fuck yeah.
Hold that thought, because I want to know what's on the set list, but we're going to introduce Jeff to the conversation now. Mr. Tucker, thanks
hey
for
y'all.
Joining us.
How are you doing?
Hi.
We're doing great. We're just getting ready to hear Craig mentioned a moment ago in a conversation with Sarah that he is getting prepared an epic set list, not just a set list, an epic set list. So we want to know what makes it epic to Craig.
Yeah.
Is it the number of rarities? Is it is it bangers all the way? Like, what makes it epic?
Well, that's obvious to say. Of course, it's going to be bangers all the way.
I think, yeah, I think it's the variety. I think it's the, there are a few songs we don't play that often. So I think that's what makes it fun. I try to always sneak a few in that we haven't done. You know, there's certain songs you have to do every time, it feels like. And yeah, anytime you can sneak a deep cut in there, it's a little more rewarding, I think.
What kind of reaction do you get from the crowd when you throw in, like, I don't know. I know you guys you have a penchant to throw in Coffee Girl, for example.
It's different every time. It depends. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it depends on the place you're playing, you know, the type of crowd you have out and where you place a song in a set. So I often put those deeper tracks near the very start because, you know, people aren't going to leave on the third song. So you're pretty safe to throw anything in those first three. Then after that, you want to sort of ramp things up, and there's an art to it. It's really, and that's my job in the band. And I love doing it.
Like solely, do you ever ask for input or just it's all you?
What I do is a week or two prior to a show, I'll send out the list because just to see if anyone has a comment. Often, you know, we try to get songs that flow together, usually based on which guitar is being used, because we have I bring four at every show. Our other guitar player brings five to six to every show, all with different tunings or different acoustics. And you don't want to be switching every song. So try to find a good set of, you know, four or five songs that work well together. Or if I know I'm going to change guitars after a song, maybe I'll make sure the next song has an introduction by someone else, so I have time to do that. So that's something that we've been working on, and it's a lot of fun.
A lot of stuff you don't necessarily consider, you know, as somebody who's just standing there enjoying the music, right?
Yeah.
You're not thinking like, oh my gosh, you know, the work that goes into the performance, but you don't know the work that goes in pre-performance, the practice, the narrowing down the songs that you're going to do, the nailing those parts, getting the lyrics down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Well, should we take a look at what we got going on so far? I know there's been some, I don't know why I spelled that all in lowercase. That's weird. Number 40. But it's here nor there. We started out the countdown at number 40 with We Want to Be It. And I remember I gave somebody a sneak preview, somebody that I admire, and I wanted him to hear it. And his first piece of feedback was, I would have never picked that song in a million years. Not that he wouldn't have picked it because he doesn't like it. It was just so surprising to him. It was so surprising that it was on the top 40. And to me, that makes me very... very proud of the list that we've put together. It is an eclectic list so far, because from We Want to Be It, we go to You're Not the Ocean, which is incredibly different in terms of the style of song. Then we flip the script again and we go to Springtime in Vienna. And then we shift gears again with In a World Possessed by the Human Mind, Greasy Jungle, and Looking for a Place to Happen. I don't know if you put these six songs on a cassette or a mixtape back in the day or a playlist now. This is a pretty broad swath of what the Tragically Hip sort of is and was, isn't it?
Yeah.
100%.
Jumping all over the discography, which is cool, I think.
Yeah.
100%. It's and it just right there, just in those songs, is... talks about easily the eclecticness of the discography. It's just very easily right there, just in a few songs, like, there you go. That's,
yeah,
you know, I think it's would be a really nice sampler in a way too. It's a nice, yeah, it'd be a nice sampler depending on the audience. You got to pick the right audience. But it's about picking the right audience, but that is the number one thing that people always say. Oh, I can't believe that's on the list there. That's always what everybody says.
Yeah. I'm looking at the scrolling list at the bottom. I'm not sure if everyone can see that, but as these songs go by, there's so many of those songs that I would probably place over these ones or some of these ones. And there it is, Something On, one of my top,
right, number 61.
It was in my top five for sure.
In your top five?
Wow. Yeah, I think so. I can't find my list. I'm not sure if you kept it, but I
might have it somewhere.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, the game that we're going to play today is we are going to look at the songs that we've got, and we are going to see whether or not each of the panelists around the table would keep the list as it was, or whether they would change things around a bit. Maybe they want Looking for a Place to Happen to be number 39. I don't know. But that's what we're going to do, just to change things up a little bit. There's not a lot in the way of news this week. I'll tell you what I know, and then we can go around the table and see if there's any other news before we go into this game. But the only news I saw was on Valentine's Day, they had a limited run poster, it was limited to 75 copies, and it was a Boots or Hearts poster. And I forget who the artist was right now, but it was really a neat poster. And the other thing that I gleaned this week was how many was it? It was on an Instagram post, 30 copies of This Is Your Life Deluxe left.
Yep.
So there's only 30 left. So if you were going to get one and you're sort of on the fence, do so before you have to buy it on eBay.
Moment when we're bringing it up.
That's true. Good point.
Only 30 left.
Get a second job first, then you can get one.
Exactly.
Of
yeah.
Get a nice keeper out or something.
Yeah.
I know. When I was looking at getting a copy, every time I found the deluxe copy, it would reroute me to a site where it had the price in euros, I think it was. And I kept thinking, this must be an error. There must be a Canadian site where it's going to be like $200. Mm-hmm. And no, it's like over $600. So I went with the non-deluxe version, which I'm quite happy with, but it's would love to amazing. Have, you know, over $600 to drop on that. But yeah.
It's pretty special. It's pretty
agreed.
It was out of my price range as well. I would rather get two box sets, you know, or something like that.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. JD, out of curiosity, the list that's showing you on the screen here, I notice it goes light, dark. Is that just to have it pop, or is there some significance to that? Were the light ones on your list or the dark ones on your list?
Nope, it's just to break it up a bit.
Okay.
Yep. I wish I was had my four color pen going and had it all mapped out, but no, that's just sort of what it is.
Cool. Nice backdrop, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I know, that's what I said too when we popped on. I'm like, look at that, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's from my balcony, guys.
Awesome.
Did you guys watch the Tom Green thing on Prime Video?
Did not.
No.
Okay, first of all, you totally should, because it's just really good anyways. Okay, like it's really good. It's a four-part thing, right? I think they're like a half an hour each, but it's just really good anyways. And also, I've just become like obsessed with homesteading and everything. I have a chicken. And so I've become like obsessed with like homesteading lately. And so that's what it's about. He buys a farm in Canada and he leaves LA and everything. Well, we were watching it, and episode 2 and episode 3, at the end, he's actually recording at the bathhouse. And really? So they show it. Yeah, it's for like a couple seconds at the end of episode 2 and episode 3. Yeah.
Super cool.
Wow.
What's it called again?
I don't remember what it's, but it's like it's Tom Green. It's the thing that he's got on Prime.
Yeah.
But it's really good anyways. Like it's good anyways. Tom Green Country. And it's 4 episodes. I don't know if he's like going to do more because they're only like a half an hour, but I mean, it's just really good anyways. But then I saw that and I was like, oh my God.
That is so badass. Yeah.
Like, oh my God. And then I had to show Brendan, and Brendan was super excited. He was like, oh my God, mom.
So nice find.
Yeah, it was fun. So I was like, I gotta make
sure
that
in the group as well.
It was a fun find. I didn't think I saw anybody say anything about it. I was like,
I've heard nothing.
Anything about this.
No.
I was like, I gotta say something. How did nobody see this? Maybe nobody watched it. I think it just came out. So maybe that's
okay.
Like part of it. I don't know. But it's good. I mean, it's just, it's worth the watch anyways. But that was just like a fun little, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped about the hockey tournament happening right now, and the opening montage for the opening game was set to Courage.
Yeah,
and so they had a bit, you know, they played pretty much the full song with clips from, you know, going way back, Canada Russia series 72, like just you know, through the ages of, you know, Gretzky, Lemieux, up to current day, and that was really nice. And then in the middle of the game, they played it as well, and then at the very end it was the music, you know, going out. So, and they played it again during the Canada US game, so not as the intro, they use Nickelback, but which, yeah, I knew when I heard that, I was like, man, we're gonna lose this
why
game.
Is this the second time that Nickelback has come up in conversation in my life in less than 2 hours? I just did an interview for my podcast before this, and like Nickelback came up randomly then too, so it's so weird.
Yeah. Oh, that's another cool story you have, Sarah J, that something else that's happened in terms of interviewing for your podcast. Share that. That's pretty fucking cool, I thought.
Oh my God. It was so cool. Okay. So I have a podcast called Dropped Among This Crowd, and another hat that I wear, in addition to being a podcast host and running the media company, I also work for a guitar company. And we invented and manufacture a alternative to the Whammy Bar, and it's called the Jake Blade. And so I do just kind of all the things, all the PR, all the whatever for them. And so something cool that we are doing is the featured artist of the month. So we have customers, and then we'll do stuff on our social media. We'll do a podcast interview with them. We'll do different sorts of fun stuff with each of these players that have been longtime customers of ours. So today, before this recording, I sat down with the February featured artist, and we started the conversation talking about guitarists that were influential to him. And so he's naming a bunch of different people, and he was like, you know who has actually recently become an influence on my playing? And I'm like, okay. And he goes, you know, that band that you've been sharing in your Instagram stories. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, Tragically Hip. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, Rob Baker. He goes, this guy, he's like, just got on my radar. And he's like, and I'm so like, just blown away by his playing. So this guy lives like 10 minutes from the Mississippi River. So he is in like the south of the U.S.
Wow.
And I absolutely love that this was a conversation we randomly had on my podcast. And then we started talking about the new guitar that Rob had made from that company, Lucene in Oakville. Oh, that guitar is so beautiful. So we like talked about that and nerded about that for a little bit, but it was an awesome conversation that I had no anticipation that was going to, that part of my life was like going to commingle like into it. Like that. I was like, oh, this is so cool right now.
You just must have been like, oh boy.
Oh my God. I can't wait to go back and watch the Zoom video because I can't wait to see my face. Like my reaction when he's like talking about this. And then I'm just like, you're like way down in the south and you're like listening to this. He's like, man, I've just been digging it so much. It's just so good. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
Super cool.
It's exposure, man. People just need exposure.
But then to get to have that conversation like randomly about Rob on my show, and like for this guy to just find him now and be influenced and include him in influences like that was just like, oh, this is so cool right now.
That's pretty awesome.
I was so jazzed about it. I was like, oh,
oh yeah.
So cool. I'm like nerding out so hard about the whole thing. So many layers of awesome.
That's wicked.
So cool.
Nice.
So Jeff, Darren mentions in the comments that he has three of your shows that are going up on the site today.
Yes.
Norwalk, Connecticut. The other two are pending some audio touch-ups. So
okay, great.
That is happening. So again, another big
thank you, Darren. Plug,
another big shout out for
yeah, thank the you, Darren. Archive.
Thank very you.
Cool. Super awesome.
I'm like listening to my last Buffalo show. There's like six shows that have no audio. So I'm listening slowly to the last one. I'm marinating on it because I don't want to not have any more Buffalo shows to listen to right now.
Awesome.
Well, should we tackle the task at hand here, folks?
Yeah. Yeah. Good call though, Craig. I was wondering if anyone was going to bring that up from the hockey. Hmm. When I sat down to watch it and Courage came on, I was like, oh yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Yeah.
Good call.
Always feels nice.
And I have to, and I mentioned this on my Facebook, but the DJ last night in Montreal was on fire. I'm not sure if you caught some of the tracks he was playing with the, you know, the stuff we won't talk about, but the stuff going on with the tariffs and stuff. And so they were playing songs like American Jesus and by Bad Religion and Uprising by Muse and what was the other one? Revolution. Every song that he picked had some kind of little hidden meaning, which was, I don't know. I thought cool.
That's how he was saying what he needed to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Cool. Very cool.
Nice.
Well, who wants to kick this off? This can be quick and dirty, really. We don't have to get, too in the weeds on this because we will be doing a roundtable when we get 10 songs listed. So that'll be a little bit more of a deep dive. This is just sort of, a check-in to the list and just to get a random sampling of where you think these songs might be. So Jeff, let's start with you. You submitted one, so I know you've got
so start at 40 and go to 35 then?
Do it up.
Yeah. Okay. So I went with Springtime at number 40. Then I went for Looking for a Place to Happen. And then I had Greasy Jungle. After that I had We Wanna Be It. And then You're Not the Ocean, and then In a World Possessed by the Human Mind.
Wow, it's such a good song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Mm. Yeah, actually, I did a list. I didn't submit a list. I did the list because I caught up with the pod a little after it had started. This one in particular, and so it was a ridiculous task. And I think my list was about 55 songs. So I couldn't shave it. And I actually didn't have Springtime or Looking for a Place to Happen on that list.
I was surprised by Looking for a Place to Happen myself as well.
Yeah.
And it's very strange to record these episodes because I don't tell the person doing the episode what number their song is. So I can't have a big, bold reaction like, oh, my gosh, this song's only, because I'm trying to make it a surprise for the listener and the person who's participating as well. So, that was something that was interesting to me this last time. I was pretty shocked. Especially I've got the ticker going at the bottom. You can see some of the other songs like Craig was talking about earlier. There's songs in this list of 80 songs that are just tremendous. 80, gosh, it's 100 songs almost. More than 100 songs.
I don't know if you guys found when you were going through the discography and the songs, but I kind of went album by album. And, I'd select 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 tracks per album. But the ones that I didn't select, I was looking at them going, if this was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or if I was in a different mood, it might be a total switch where 6 I left off the list would have been on and 6 I put in. Like that's the conundrum when you have such a strong list of songs from album 1 to 13?
Yeah.
Yeah.
14, I think.
14. Thank you. Yes.
And the emotion, again, it's hard not to have the emotion. You can't not vote and do it based on emotion.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's
always going to be a factor. And so when you're, you know, you're a different place, you're a different person, you're going to have different songs that mean different things to you, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, I remember in the summer doing this list, my top 20, and at the time we had just wrapped up, I think, Discovering Downey, or maybe we were just about to wrap up, and you sent out the notice about this project. And I remember Justin was making like spreadsheets, and he took weeks to rank his top 20. It's pretty funny. He actually shared it with us, like his process, and it was nuts. And mine was, I was the complete opposite. I knew that if I tried to think about it too much, it would keep changing. So I just kind of went with what I was feeling at that time. And I wrote out a list of 20, and partly it was influenced by, you know, stuff that my band was playing at the time, and that songs that really I started connecting with that maybe I hadn't as much before, but it would keep changing.
Yeah.
I mean, if I did it today, it would be different, but I do have some songs that will always be in those sort of top 5 to 10 slots. And pretty much none of them are, you know, most of them are gone already. So yeah. They're in the bottom 80.
And yet you're not gonna be disappointed. I don't think anybody is going to be disappointed by the actual top 20, you know.
When
we get there, it's gonna be like, yeah, I didn't have that song, but fuck, is that ever a good song?
Right That's one thing that I've always said, is like, yeah, I'm surprised, but it's not ever like, you know, it's never wrong. You know, right. it's difficult to rank it. So you got to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
You got to
put it somewhere.
Something's got to be 40, right?
Yeah. There's got to be something.
How would your list change? Or would it?
Mine?
Or would it?
Mine?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, we talked about this in the roundtable too. I mean, my number one song was what? Like 152 or something? I mean, more than half of my 20 is in, you know, the triple digits. So for me, it's like, I don't know what that says about me. You know, like I just like watching this. I just like watching it unfold.
That's fair.
You know, I think it's really interesting to observe it roll out and kind of in a way understand a little bit like how the fans collectively feel about the songs, and it's been interesting to learn about.
Yeah, I've had it. I mean, I've got to sit with all these great people, and just recently I did an interview with somebody who's a chef who's cooked for the Hip. So that was a cool interview. My dog's barking, so I'm just going to put myself on mute for a moment here, folks. But Craig, if you want to hit your list.
Mine is actually fairly similar to Jeff's. So I had at number 40, Looking for a Place to Happen. Great song, but you know, definitely it's not in my top 40. I think partly, I mean, I'll just be really quick, but as a guitar player, one of the things I love about the Hip so much is that they rarely play the same thing. Like they're never, and like Paul said in his interview with you, he didn't even listen. Like they didn't listen to each other. They just, you know, they did their own thing. And and this is a song where they do play a lot, you know, fairly similar parts. And so I find it not quite as interesting in that way. There are some things I really do like about it that I could get into, but I won't today. My number 39 is Springtime in Vienna. And it's a great song. Like all of these songs are amazing, but it's just not one of my favorite Hip songs. I love the chorus. I love the harmonies. It's a great song. I don't know. It's, Greasy Jungle, I put it 38. Again, another awesome song. I love the feeling I get from that song. It's not an album I put on very often, for, you know, just I think back to my life at that time, and it was a weird time, your early 20s, and it was a time in my life I was going through, my sister was sick at the time, and I remember like taking a copy of that to her in the hospital, and so I associate that album a little bit with some tough times. But I love it. It's just got that sound that, anyways, so Greasy Jungle. I had You're Not the Ocean at 37. Love it. I love the lyrics especially, and just how it brings in, kicks in that album. Just a good kickoff song. Next I had In a World Possessed by the Human Mind, which I love. I might have had it in my top 20. I can't remember. I really need to find that list. I think it was likely in the, somewhere down in the 15 to 20 area, I'm guessing. Lyrically amazing. Just a good, classic style hip song. And that leaves We Want to Be It at 35, which I did definitely have in my top 20. I think I had it in my top 10.
That's just incredible, such a unique song. That you flipped 40 for 35 in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I have my list in the opposite order beside, like, on my computer right now, and it almost looks identical, but
backwards.
Yeah. Nice. Good insights. Yeah.
I love it.
I could go on for it.
I can tell.
Yeah, I could do 20 minutes on each of these. I thought of,
It's amazing. Awesome.
It's amazing.
Well, folks, that's what we got for you this week.
Did we hear Sarah's?
Rewank, wank. Oh. And sorry, Craig?
Did we hear Sarah? Have you read? Did you?
I did.
Did I tune out?
No, she didn't. She didn't really, Craig. She kind of like skated it.
I did. I just left it alone. I'm letting it unfold. Want you though, Craig. Remind me which song you were talking about with the was it the first song we were talking about? We Want to Be It, where you were talking about. I'm gonna have to go back and listen too, because it was very intriguing, and I like spaced out too. So we both did it on each other. But you made a point that I definitely want to go back and listen to, because I was like, I want to listen to this song again now after hearing what you said. So I'm going to go back and rewatch what you said, because there was definitely something that piqued my interest. So I have to go back.
Yeah. One of the things, Jamie, you were talking about some things that had happened, and I know you've posted about it, but we haven't chatted about it. Was that Terry Fox commercial?
Oh, yeah. With
that version of Courage, eh? Like, I had a couple people send it to me before, it came out. I saw it on TV, or I saw it on social media. I had some people send it to me, and man, that would, like, it was so raw. Like, wait, like just listening to him, like you could hear his vocal cords rattling. You know what I mean? It was just so amazing. And like now I'm thinking, when was that recorded? Who was it recorded with? Who was playing the piano? What was the, venue? Like it was phenomenal. Very powerful.
I'd have to hear it again, but I'm pretty sure it's the studio version, the vocal take anyways. And then someone's gone in and added some piano and, atmosphere. I've only actually listened to it once, but I think it's just,
studio quality for sure. Like
Or maybe it's an outtake from that same session or something, but I think it is the actual track, but it's really well done. And I read someone said they were at a movie theater this weekend, and it played, as a trailer.
Wow.
Which would have been powerful, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Another thing I was going to bring up, kind of unrelated. I think when we ended the jam last Sunday, we got talking about Paul Langlois stuff briefly. And to a point, but I never did get to the point. In the times I've been listening to Paul's stuff, I spent a lot of time listening to it this summer and then touch on it every once in a while. He's got a song, Can't Wait Anymore. And there was such a, like most of his stuff, I don't hear a lot of the hip music in his songs. Like it's his stuff, even though he's part of the hip. But this song in particular, it was such a hip familiarity. And I racked my brain trying to figure out what song it reminded me of so much. I finally did figure it out, but I'm curious if you guys have a listen, if you can figure out which hip song. I'm sure you will figure it out.
Is that what is it called? Record?
It's called Can't Wait Anymore.
Okay.
Which record is it on? This has got three, right?
Yeah. Give me one sec. I'll tell you here. I think it's the album where it's kind of like the Bruce Springsteen similar looking album.
I just found it. It's Fix This Head. It's the Paul Langlois Band. Okay, I'm going to mute myself and listen to it.
Formerly just Paul Langlois, but then they, the third record came out, it was called Paul Langlois Band. I guess we covered that in the interview. But at any rate, guys, I got to pack it up. So we got to end this jam, as it were.
Damn.
We will get into more stuff next Sunday at 5 o'clock. Awesome. And, you know, maybe it'll be the same characters. Maybe there'll be some new folks. Who knows? We shall see. But we have a lot of fun here. And you should definitely come out and pick up your shit.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Guys.
Was it Head by a Sentry?
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.